We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Mully Hanley.
You guys are ignorant and you're also naive.
On Sports Radio 670, The Score, Chicago's sports station.
The Bears do have a defining unit.
Yes.
On their team. I think the Packers used to. Their offense was, with Aaron Rodgers, their defining unit. Now it's the Bears with the defining unit. The Bears' defense is better than the Packers' defense and better than the Packers' offense.
It's the best unit on the field.
Exactly.
Head and shoulders, not even close.
Right.
But is that enough to get you excited? Because, again, I said it yesterday, the Sony defense is great, and everyone loves to see Sacks and Leonard Floyd going back as a young player and emerging as the guy you thought you traded up for and all that. It's all about the quarterback. And now, you know, whether you take the training wheels off, if that's, in fact, what has been on here with Trubisky, you don't do it. So, I mean, until you really see that guy come into his own, and it won't be this season because of the talent around him, I don't know how excited Bears fans get, because even if they beat the Packers, I mean, they have to beat the Packers.
They have to beat the Packers.
Even if they do, do you feel the same as you would as if it was Brett Favre or Aaron Rodgers back there leading that Packers offense?
Mully and Hanley.
Frootin' tootin' frootin'.
I'm Ragnar. Pay me.
That's how I roll, buddy.
Start your day with the teams you know.
I'd like to see John Lackey back. I just like John Lackey. I like his antics.
I'm always a little more out closer to the beer.
I
mean,
I didn't come here for a haircut, you know what I mean? We're trying to get it on. I came here for jewelry.
Mully Hanley.
This is all tricky.
Here we go.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I can listen to John Lackey's laugh, that laugh of his, in like a loop for the rest of the show and be entertained and delighted.
It puts a smile on your face. You should, John Lackey alarm clock. I mean, that would get you going in the day.
Oh, my God.
Right?
That would scare the hell out of you.
Well,
you'd have young children.
Yeah, you would be smiling, and then he would tell you to get the hell out of the bed if you hit the snooze button.
that would not a noise you want to hear. But
what's in my room?
That laugh is hysterical. That is a very funny cut there, Kev Bowman.
That would get you out of bed. Hey, something's going on in here.
It's the way he gets into it. It's just class, just pure class. Sorry about that. I had to move my microphone. Unless apparently shorter than he used to be. All right, so what do you want to start with? We got to start with Marty Bennett, man. I mean, what a story that's coming out of Green Bay. Martellus Bennett... Apparently, I mean, this is just truly bizarre, and we'll get into it a little bit in the 5 at 5. But they've released Marty Bennett, and you know, there was part of me. I was actually texting with a friend of mine earlier in the week, and he just texted me about Marty Bennett, saying, "God, I hope that guy plays because I just want to see Kyle Fuller come in and you know." Clean him out with a Cam Newton style hit. And I was like, yeah, well, that's his shoulder is what's hurt. You got to be careful with that. But he was referencing the fact that Marty, remember when Kyle Fuller was a rookie, Marty like threw him
down
in Bourbonnais.
Yeah.
Bourbonnais
got himself a little suspension
because he wasn't happy about
Phil
the way
Emery
the
showed
was
him
playing against
yeah.
him. Yeah. So that we're robbed of that moment. Robbed.
Yeah. You know, Marty Bennett. I mean, I guess you can't change who you are, but. It'll be interesting if they get the money back from him, because I know there's probably a lot of cartooning that needs to be done, and he said over their bye week that he's likely done and retiring after the season, even though he's got, they're trying to get $4.2 million of the signing bonus back, minimum. They might want to get as much.
Good luck.
And I guess as soon as Aaron Rodgers went down, Marty went back to being Marty. Maybe he kept it under wraps while the quarterback was still around.
Marty was probably went antiquing with all of that money.
Yeah.
Could long be gone. Didn't he spend money like a sailor on shore leave when he was here? Wasn't he?
Yeah, he and Michael were always looking for the next payday, even though they just signed a contract. It was like, well, that, you know, not good enough.
favorite story ever, Jerry Jones threatening to sue the NFL.
I'm not on that committee, but it's my committee. What?
He's also threatening to hold his breath until he turns blue, if indeed there isn't enough done to satisfy him in the Roger Goodell.
He's not on the compensation committee, but he's been vocal. He gets on conference calls.
He's an outside member that likes to be involved. It's a six-member committee that has invited him to stop, but he's Jerry Jones.
Yeah, they invited him now when he's threatening to hire lawyers in lawsuits. They decided they don't want to hear from him anymore.
I love the story, though. We'll get into that one as well. The Bulls are off till Friday. Joe Cowley saying that Bobby Portis isn't going anywhere, and it's
Nico no wanted here.
It's not a Portis or Nico situation. It's get along, Nico, or get out.
Yeah, don't let the door hit you on the way out because you might get hurt.
That's sad. That saddens me. I just don't want it to end like that for Nico. I would, I just think it's a really rough situation. I think that. Not only did the guy get his face busted up, he now appears to have gotten his career busted up, and clearly he's got his pride busted up, which is one of the reasons that he's not going to be coming around and talking to Bobby.
Joe writes that the players feel that Nico had some sort of sense of entitlement. That's the first time I've heard that. Now, obviously, D-Wade and Jimmy were calling Nico out when they ripped everyone on the team about approach and effort and whether they'd go out to dinner after a loss, whether it bothered them or not. He was number one on that list. So you can question his work ethic and approach and everything else. But I understand why he didn't participate in team scrimmages at the Advocate Center over the summer when he didn't have a contract. Because if he blew out his knee, those guys weren't going to all chip in part of their salary to make Nico good for the season, right? I mean, that his agent told him, don't do anything that would get you hurt until you sign a contract. And anyone else's agent would have told their clients the same thing. So, I mean, that's the way those things go in pro sports. But it's a very apparent, according to Joe's story, that there's no he or me. It's see you later, Nico.
It's an interesting, we've been talking about this story for a while, and the idea that Nico's ultimatum holds no weight whatsoever, and that nobody, certainly not the players, are worried about it or care about it, or, it's an unfortunate, it's really a bummer. I mean, this guy, he got clocked, he pretty much got blamed for it, and he pretty much has been accused of not being able to take a punch, which I don't know what other way to make it. If the guy had just taken the punch and it rolled off him, if he had known how to get hit and come back, then there'd be no issue. But he got his face busted up. It's almost like, Nico, why did you get your face in front of his fist? It's just, we've lost entire track of the story. One guy in a fit of pique punched another guy in the face, which I'm pretty sure, and I know the difference in sports. I know Michael Jordan did it a couple times, right? Hit Will Perdue once, hit Steve Kerr one time in practice. I know what happens. I've been around enough pro sports teams to know how often it happens, probably a lot more often than people know. And I've been on sports teams. I've seen guys punch each other. I saw a guy headbutt a guy. I mean, blew up his nose.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's an amazing thing to watch when you see that, when you see a headbutt that's actually well-placed and well-delivered and, poor guy.
See the amount of blood it can produce.
Oh, my God. It was really something. Let me tell you something. You know what you learn? You learn to avoid getting a headbutt.
So, look.
You steer clear of it.
Certainly, John Paxson and Gar Foreman have to know how the team feels about this and which side they're on. And does that play? I mean, it has to play in the decision, right? I've been saying forever that Nico played his last game as a Bull. Now, I guess the only question is, has he played his last NBA game? And does he go back to Spain with some sort of settlement from the Bulls, a buyout from the Bulls? Or does he actually move on to another team and find, happier times with another NBA franchise for a year or two?
Yeah,
You're not getting anything.
No, you're not getting anything. Maybe you end up with, is that enough to trade to Philadelphia, Nico? If you wanted to, because you got to wait for everybody.
Yeah, I mean, the entire league knows what's going on here. So you're not getting
a thing.
I mean, even if this didn't happen, his trade value was next to nothing, right?
That's why
the Bulls gave him a one-year guarantee on a two-year contract.
No one came looking for him.
Right.
So, yeah, I get it. But I'm just saying, you know, I just feel like we've thrown this guy out. And I guess the only reason they signed him was for the money, right? They had to spend a certain amount of money.
I guess
you can't get worked up about it. But I just feel sad.
When he makes shots, he'd be an important part of you needed scores on this Fred Hoiberg offense, that such as it is in its infancy. You wanted to see, you know, if he could give you weeks or months or half a season, whatever it is, you would say, okay, let's see what he got, and then try to build that trade value up and get rid of him in the second year of that deal. But yeah, he didn't do anything previous to this to make any contingent a Bulls fan.
What are you going to do? The Blackhawks back on the ice with a new top line. Is it more important whether they score, whether they win? We'll get into talk about that. Anthony Rizzo gets another honor on Wednesday, this time from MLB Players Association. He was named this year's recipient of the Marver Miller Man of the Year Award for his work with the Anthony Rizzo Family Foundation. It's an on-the-field, off-the-field award, but, you know, this guy's winning awards really for his work off the field. It's extraordinary the way that he's paying it forward, giving it back, whatever way you want to term it. I mean, this is a laudable professional athlete doing some great work, and God bless him. God bless Anthony Rizzo. It's, there's a lot of hours and a lot of emotion and time and a lot of his being that is poured into that foundation.
Yeah.
He's not a guy throwing money at something.
No, he's actually hands-on. He visits the hospital, the University of Chicago Children's Hospital.
And when, you know, I saw he tweeted yesterday that some young man died and it could have been him, kind of thing. And, you know, he's an extraordinary person doing great work for people and not letting anyone that he hears about, you know, fall into the cracks. It's an extraordinary thing. And it's great to see him get these awards, but he's not doing it for the awards. So God bless Anthony Rizzo. It's great stuff. We're going to have the 5 at 5 next. It's Mully and Hanley at Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
This segment brought to you by Firestone Complete Auto Care. Come into Firestone Complete Auto Care and get $60 back on a Firestone Visa prepaid card by mail when you purchase a set of 4 eligible Firestone tires. Whatever you drive, drive a Firestone.
It's 5 at 5 with Mully and Hanley, where we debate the top 5 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Hanley. 5 at 5 with Mully and Hanley starts now.
Are the Bears facing a must-win scenario versus Green Bay?
I'll go with statement game over must-win. Here's the thing. You know, they're not eliminated by this. It's not game 7. It's not a must-win in terms of... In the entirety of their season, it's a must-win. When you look at where they are in terms of the coaching staff and their desire to stick around, it's a must-win. If you talk about stacking wins... It's a must-win. If you talk about pleasing the McCaskey family, it's really a must-win. But it's not going to eliminate them from the tournament if they wind up 3-6 instead of 3-5. You know, I think people forget where they're at in their season. It would be an incredible doggy downer. I think we would all be very bummed out by a negative result, and I think Monday will be a hellish complaint festival if indeed they were to lose that game. But must win usually indicates that it's the ultimate turning point. I think it's a turning point. I think it's the potential to be a really positive turning point for them. And with that comes the opposite side of the coin, which is an incredibly negative turning point. If they were to lose this game, and at some point I would imagine the Packers are going to win a game. Mike McCarthy's a pretty good coach. He's going to get that quarterback up and running, and they're going to figure out a way to win a game. It just can't be this one, because it is it's about the future for the Bears, and they really, really need this victory just to justify the feeling around town that they're not half bad.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about must win Miami Notre Dame, must win. That Saturday night, must win. The loser of that game,
out of the tournament, no chance
to be in the conversation for a playoff and or national championship. So that's must win. But you nailed it, Molly. Perception, if you want to be, if you're John Fox or you're Ryan Pace and you want to continue to sell feel good and positivity and we're closer than people think or realize, you lose this game, and those words not only ring hollow, no one wants to hear them. They want to hear when's, you know, who's next, who are you getting in here, how's it going to change, all of that. So the statement game is much more appropriate for what this is. If you truly are the team you've been telling people that you are, this ascending team, don't look at 3-5, even though we're embracing 3-5 as something as a positive because that's where the bar is set these days, that low. But if you want to continue that and sell your product as, you know, stick with us, be with us, because we're close. Like last year when John Fox kept saying we're closer than people think or realize, it was, okay, sure. Right? Injuries aren't an excuse. In the next 5 minutes, he'd list every injury they had to overcome. This is not a must-win scenario. The Bears, no matter how the season ends up, will not be a Super Bowl champion this year. They likely, 80-20, not be a playoff team this year. But when you see what the Green Bay Packers look like without Aaron Rodgers, he is one hit away, and now this is the second injury in a few years. You know, things change in the NFL, and they change quickly. So maybe this isn't a three-year rebuild. Maybe, you know, next year you could be that team that's knocking on the door because your defense seems like it's primed and ready to go. And Minnesota doesn't know who their quarterback's going to be. That now, you know, they know, but you don't know how good he's going to be in Teddy Bridgewater now that Sam Bradford's career might be over with yet another knee surgery. And you know, Detroit's probably licking its lips thinking that the division is theirs moving forward this season. So, yeah, no must win, but certainly if you want to be able to talk for the next 2 months about all the good feelings and all the good things going on at Hal's Hall, you better win this game.
The longer we go without seeing Bears football, the better they get in our minds. That's what certainly
that's what's happened, yeah.
I mean, it's ridiculous. It is. Sure, it's must win, but when you're below 500 and we're talking about a 16-game schedule, I'm going to say that most games are must win if your aspirations are the playoffs or somehow catching the Minnesota Vikings where you trail by 3 games and they've already beaten you this year. What I'm wondering about is teams in this league throw up duds. We see it every single Sunday. Something happens you don't expect. Bears coming off a bye, preparing for this team for 2 weeks. Packers look horrible. They haven't scored 20 offensive points since Trubisky's taken over. What if they lose by multiple scores to Green Bay? Then how much everything flips like that? We're back to John Fox is fired. They're 3-6. I mean, even at 3-5, if you were to pull up the NFC playoff picture, they're the 13th seed, and people are talking about them going 6-2 in the second half or just going on this crazy run because the schedule lightens up. Yes, it is must win if they want to make the postseason or have any dreams of doing that.
Well, it's a home game, so most home games are must wins. You know, you have to at least win most of the games you play at home if you want to be respectable. The Bears have played pretty well at home. You know, they beat Pittsburgh there, close game against Atlanta earlier in the season, close game against Minnesota earlier in the season. So I think they're clearly better at home, and Green Bay hasn't showed me a damn thing since Aaron Rodgers went down with that injury. They look like a complete disaster. I think the defense of the Bears will comfortably win on Sunday. And yes, must win, statement game, all that stuff. Because if you lose to this team at home, then, Molly, like you said, Monday will be a storm of sorts and not one of those nice ones. A crap storm, to clean it up a little bit.
I think it's a statement game for the players, and it's a must win for John Fox because of how important we all know the McCaskies take this. So with all the buzz being this week and the point spread being what it is, if they go in there and pull off one of those, as Joe mentioned, a clunker, that's on Fox and his coaching staff. Fox needs to get these guys ready. At the same time, it's a statement game that these guys have to realize that these are the Green Bay Packers. This is a conference game. You are playing at home. And while the big dog is down, you want to step on the throat a little bit.
By the way, it's 6 now at some places.
Wow. I saw
well, I'll take the Packers in 12. I'll tell you that right now. Okay? Give me the tease.
This is an unfair question, Mike, but that's what we do here.
What do you make of Marty Bennett's departure from Green Bay?
I said it, you know, yar who yar, and Marty Bennett's age, he wasn't about to change, and eventually the true Marty Bennett surfaced in Green Bay. Marty likes football because it provides him a lot of money and a lifestyle to do other things, and you saw when he was with the Chicago Bears, at least Brandon Marshall told you basically that he used the football platform to advocate or to do other things, and you know, football, he was very good at it when he was healthy and wanted to be, but he didn't love the game. He loved all the things that brought to him. Marty never actually said that, but his actions sure screamed it, whether it's his animation and all his hobbies. Marty liked the idea of getting paid, and occasionally would show up on Sundays and make plays and be part of a win or two, but the fact of the matter is he doesn't love the game of football. He loves life, and I mean, you know, it's great that he's some sort of Renaissance man, and he's got all sorts of interests outside the game. But you know, the idea that he's telling people other than the team he's likely retired at the end of the season. Meanwhile, they gave him a big signing bonus. He apparently thinks he can keep, and he's going to find out otherwise. It doesn't certainly impact the future of Green Bay because he's not Aaron Rodgers. He's just a guy, and it also shows you why Ted Thompson doesn't usually stick his toe in the free agent pool, because this is what happens to him. They're not very good when it comes to signing free agents. So I would think this is another negative for Ted Thompson and his reputation for being able to figure out who to spend money on, and I would guess he'll go right back to the draft room and try to figure out on cheap college talent and go that direction.
Yeah, I would. I wouldn't argue with you, Brian, on most of your points there. I would say that what's curious about this is that Marty apparently had a pre-existing condition with his shoulder. He may have hurt his shoulder when he was in New England, and he did not tell anyone about it, and it didn't really bother him until after Aaron Rodgers went down. So Marty was hoping for a lot of attention and looking forward to getting a lot of passes from Aaron Rodgers. This thing didn't work from a football standpoint before this shoulder injury was announced. He just wasn't playing very well with the Green Bay Packers. Didn't really seem to fit into what they're doing. I believe he leads their team with 7 drops. And this is before he came up with the shoulder injury. He then announces that he's going to retire at the end of the year. What's the old Bill Parcells line? When a guy tells you he wants to retire, he already is, something along those lines. I think that Marty is a front runner and is a guy that thought he was going to be on a Super Bowl team. And when Aaron Rodgers went down, Marty wanted out, and Marty didn't want to play anymore, and he doesn't want to be a part of the whole thing that's going on now in Green Bay. So he's lost interest in it, and he's announced he has a shoulder injury, and I would imagine he's in consultation with their doctors that he was opting for some kind of surgery. He was shutting it down, and that's why they rushed to cut him and claim that he had an injury that was not announced. I think it's a really bad signing. I think we can sit here and kick the player and yell about the player and what a jerk he is and all that stuff and doesn't want to win, but I think Ted Thompson really stepped in it here with this guy because he took a chance on a personality that is volatile, and this is what you get. And unfortunately, Aaron Rodgers went down. It might have been fine if that hadn't happened, but he did go down, and Marty lost interest, and now they're going to try to get every dime back. But no matter how you look at it, they made a terrible decision to bring in a guy that apparently only wanted to play if things were going well, and things aren't going well, and now he's had enough, and he thinks he was going to just walk away with all the money. And that's not going to happen now. So it'll be very interesting to see the argument about it. I'm usually on the side of players when it comes to that sort of thing. I think the team is just as culpable as Marty, but it's a bad look all the way around, and it tells you they're coming into Chicago as a mess.
My first reaction was, are they conceding on this year? But Bennett hasn't done anything. He hasn't gotten into the end zone. He's had one game where he's hit 50 yards. And now that you don't have Aaron Rodgers, what is the real value here in having Martellus Bennett? It's just one of those guys that if he's not performing, well, you're going to be out the door quicker than anybody else. And I do wonder, do they think he hurts Brett Hundley in any way? Is it just better to have him out of that locker room? Because when you think of Bennett, it's just, you know, 5 teams in 10 years, it's It's always somebody else's fault. In Dallas, Jason Witten was a big jerk to him. And here, he had things to say about Cutler after he left with an interview with his brother. Because of the injury, maybe he doesn't get claimed, but I was thinking if he's able to play, that he will get claimed, just because there aren't many tight ends that can block and catch in the league right now.
But, so you're saying Ryan Pace should be
I'm not. John Fox wanted him out, didn't he?
Yeah.
That would be a nice funny way to end things with John Fox here.
That guy. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah. That would be beautiful. Yeah, if they really don't like each other, sign Marty Bennett. Oh, put a claim in today before
need a tight
three
end.
You know, usually Martellus does wear out his welcome wherever he goes, but it's usually not this quickly as what we've seen here in Green Bay, which is why I think the injury thing is a big deal here, because he was productive last year, and I know it was with the best team in the NFL, the New England Patriots, but he caught 7 touchdowns. He was fairly productive before that as well. So I think the injury is a big part of it, and I think when he started to bring up the retirement talk, he probably knew, Mully, like you just said a little bit ago, he probably knew he was done at that point and was just kind of playing out the string. So when you hear a guy say that, when he's not being productive, when you're clearly not going to be able to compete anymore, as the Packers are not, makes sense to cut ties. So I think I like Martellus a little bit more than the rest of you guys, given all of the things that have been thrown around here. But it's just, I don't know.
He's quitting on his team.
Yeah.
And I think that's
maybe,
why
maybe it is
are
the injury thing, and maybe it's not. Maybe he just wants to cut and run and start his new life post-football, even though he just turned 30 years old. Nice time to retire. But I don't know. It's very interesting to see. I want to see more, if more comes out about the injury and how severe that is.
Well, the problem is if he was damaged goods, and that's on Ted Thompson, right?
Exactly.
And Marty Bennett's never been a character guy, but he's got unbelievable physical attributes. If anything, the guy should look in the mirror and be more ticked off. I had heard they either played I don't remember, it was a Sunday night, Monday night, or Thursday night game that I was tuned into. And in the beginning, after they made the introductions, like, he was like a top, I'm talking like top 5 high school, college basketball recruit. And he chose football over basketball. And that's probably where he made his biggest mistake as far as a financial situation.
So this is a lesson for Adam Shaheen.
There you go.
Wow.
That's a good question. I mean, I don't know. Tony and I can't answer that.
Who wins the Jerry Jones-Roger Goodell fight, and should fans care?
I think you should care. And I think that Roger Goodell will end up winning this round of it. He won the last round. I mean, I really like Jerry Jones, and I think he's a very influential owner. And I think that the missing element to this that everyone – I think Jerry doesn't give a toss what anyone thinks about Jerry or his operation or what he's doing. Jerry's got it in his mind that Roger Goodell is costing him money. The Ezekiel Elliott thing is really peeving him. He is very upset. They are operating in a world where he's in, he's out, he's in, he's out, he's there, he's gone. And it's becoming a huge distraction for the team. And they don't want to have to serve that suspension, and they want to keep the legal battle alive. And I think Jerry was ultimately shocked that this happened. Now, Jerry wanted Tom Brady suspended, and he got Tom Brady suspended. And he was one of the guys that wanted the Law and Order Commissioner, that wanted Roger Goodell to be this guy. And now that he's this guy against his guy, I think there's certainly a different feeling from Jerry. But I also believe that you don't really need Roger Goodell, that the league is not dependent upon him to keep it afloat. I think there are a lot of people that could serve in that job. I think it is absolutely crazy that a guy gets $45 million for that job. And I understand why Roger doesn't. Once you start living the $45 million lifestyle, I think it's hard to take less money. And Roger is probably convinced himself that he's worth every penny. And certainly the owners have made a lot of money through this one. But I think Jerry is a dangerous character. I think that there's a little kind of, maybe a little Al Davis to him, and that he could possibly start a lawsuit that ends up costing everybody a ton of money. I think I'd be careful with Jerry. I think he's a dangerous character, and I think he's, doesn't care. He doesn't care what anybody else thinks about it. And I think that I just love this story, and I want this fight to go on forever. I just think it's fantastic. I can't get enough of the guy hiring a lawyer and holding his breath, whatever else is going on. I think Jerry is dead serious about this, and I think Roger Goodell is not as powerful as everyone believes.
It's not just any lawyer he's threatening to hire or has hired. It's David Boies, who represent the entire league during the lockout, right? So it's like...
Harvey Weinstein, Al Gore.
Yeah. Al Gore.
Yeah, but here's the, Jerry, there's reportedly four or five other owners in Jerry's camp. I want to know who those are, because are they the likes of Robert Kraft? I guarantee you George McCaskey and the McCaskey family are the status quo. They're in the majority of the silent majority here because they like, guess what, $55 million relocation checks were all sent to every NFL team because the Chargers, Rams, and Raiders all had to pony up. And every team in the league got another $55 million just because it popped into their account. There are a lot of teams that like the NFL Golden Goose, even though it might be limping a little bit this year. The fact of the matter is that Roger Goodell, he's reportedly furious that Jerry Jones is pushing, okay, give him the extension, but it's incentive-based. It's not set at $40 million. And here's a guy, Molly, like you said, he's made more than $200 million over 10, 11 years. And, but here...
It ain't me. I ain't no senator's son.
Oh, but he is.
That's what I'm saying.
Jerry Jones, Hub Arkish, wrote that Bill Polian's his guy. Now, would Bill take that job and then have the hotline in the office where he rings? It's Jerry's direct line to, here, we're doing this today. This is kind of a critical juncture for whoever's in the commissioner's office, and it looks like it's going to be Roger Goodell because they voted 32-0 back in spring to give him a contract, to allow the compensation committee to give him that contract. So
he's making them a fortune.
Yeah, and I don't. Jerry Jones' lawsuit might get kicked to the curb quicker than certainly he wouldn't have as many appeals as Ezekiel Elliott has.
He'll keep going, Brian.
Yeah, but fans should care only because I think the league needs something. It needs a B12 shot here. The product's not very good. We talked about whether it's oversaturated. Certainly TV executives have alluded to that. They need to do something, and they need to do it quickly because it's hemorrhaging ratings, and it's not making the money it once made. It's making a gazillion dollars, but it's going the wrong direction. So fans should care because the product's not very good right now.
Jerry Jones is out of control. I laugh every week. They show some post-game sound, Dak Prescott, Garrett up at the podium.
There's the
owner. And then they have the owner. Everybody circled around Jerry Jones getting his post-game thoughts. Nowhere else in the NFL. Nowhere else. Don't get in the way of Jerry Jones' team making the playoffs. Because if Zeke Elliott has to sit down for six games, they're not making the playoffs. They've just won three in a row to make it a 5-3 record, and they would just barely get in the last wild card. They still have to play the Eagles twice. The Seahawks, the Raiders. I mean, that's what this is really about, his team making the playoffs and what they're doing with the Zeke Elliott situation.
And Jerry's apparently telling people that Roger Goodell flat out told him he was going to suspend Elliott. And once he did that, it was a breach of trust that, Jerry was never going to forgive.
And I, if I was the owner, I'd be really ticked off if I felt it was a makeup for mistakes he's made before. In the past, for Ray Rice or other situations, that would tick me off. Now my team's not going to make the playoffs. This is totally unfair, just based on your mistakes in the past and everything that came down on you. I think Goodell ends up winning this fight. Everything I've always heard was that the owners love Goodell. Everybody in the world hates Goodell except for the owners because the money just keeps flowing in. Should fans care? Average fan, I would lean no. I think the majority of fans want to sit down on Sunday or go to an establishment, their buddy's house. They just want to enjoy the football. And they don't really care about all the behind-the-scenes stuff. It depends how you view sports, but I would lean no to your average fan.
It's hard enough for me to care about the crappy level of play that we see in the NFL every Sunday, and now I'm supposed to care about billionaires and millionaires throwing feces at each other at high levels and trying to get the one up on each other, whether you're the son of a politician or some hillbilly billionaire who made your money in oil and whatever the hell else. I don't care about this at all. You shouldn't care about it. If you're listening to me right now, I apologize to the rest of the panel who are clearly very into this. I don't give a damn.
I'm with Kevin. I'm not going to answer the first part of the question. I'm going to answer the second part of the question. No, I don't. give a care. I'm a fan, and I don't care. And I also really don't like this narrative, this constant beating of the drum about the terrible product. And then talk about something else, watch something else, do something else with your time, suggest what you should do instead of this. But this idea that it's such a... I love football. I love college football, and I still love the NFL. You want to know why I have a big... we can do this later. Anybody see what Bob Costas had to say? You know, Bob Costas, the guy who used to host Football Night in America for a decade. Now, all of a sudden, he's on his high heels and has thoughts on...
High heels?
You know, what are you saying? He's trying to be 5 foot nine.
What are you saying?
I mean, you know, how did he keep those boyish good looks for all these years?
Well, he and Jerry Jones
good genes,
have Jerry Jones and
for
he
good
has
surgery.
Something in common. Yeah, he had
okay.
Jerry Jones
and now all of a sudden, the foundation has cracks and the game has cracks and the game has issues. And oh, why? Because you're not part. Oh, so now you're not part of it anymore. So now all of a sudden you got thoughts. For 10 years, you didn't have thoughts. Now you got thoughts.
Yeah, pink eye, though.
Shut the you know what up.
Oh, let's put it up.
That's an interesting question, Joe.
Will the Cubs find a taker for Jason Hayward, or is the idea of trading him a media-driven story?
Baffled. Baffled, we say. That's the word out of the Giants organization. They don't know where this all came from. Of course, you would think they're probably posturing because this wasn't made up out of whole cloth. I guess you could just look at bad contracts and say, oh, that they would love to get rid of Mark Melancon. He's got injuries and he's overpaid and... No, Jeff Samardzija was once a Cub and probably would like to go back there, even though, you know, he has Melancon has no trade, Samardzija limited no trade, Jason Hayward definitely no trade clauses. Could they find a taker? Yes. Is the idea media driven? No, I think it's fan driven, and I think it's certainly executive driven. I mean, if they're not making these calls or sitting there on their whiteboard in the big conference room up at Wrigley Field in particular, and certainly in San Francisco, trying to figure out how to make their team better and how to offload some of the bad money they have here. And fifth gold glove or not, Jason Hayward, 11 home runs. Think about that. In the season of 6,100-plus home runs, you look at Jason Hayward and you look at 11 home runs, and I get what he have, like 13 or 14 when the Cubs signed him to $184 million, and he's still got $134 million left on that deal. You can't get 21 home runs In the year of everyone gets 20 home runs, then something's seriously wrong here. They will not find a taker for him, but they won't be for lack of trying. I think Jason Hayward find 134 million reasons to love him because he's here and he's not opting out, kids.
He's a bust. There's no way around it. It's been a disaster. He hasn't performed the way they thought that he would when they made him such a highly paid player. He's a great defensive player. So is Austin Jackson. It's just, it's, you know, for a fraction of that kind of money, there's no other way to look at it. And they won the World Series with him, so who cares? And that the meeting thing, it might be the biggest overblown story in the history of the media. That's the media-driven story. I would say that, has anyone talked to him? Has anybody run this by him? I believe he has a no-trade clause.
Full no-trade.
So, I mean, look, the minute someone doesn't want you, it's a pretty good idea to leave. But you don't have to. You don't have to go. You can talk to everybody on God's earth, but you better make sure.
Or maybe he does want to go. Maybe he doesn't want to be the guy that everyone, you know, when you win the World Series, no one points fingers or really screams from the mountaintops how bad you are.
How is this going to play with him?
Yeah.
Do they have to tell him, no, that was never a consideration. You're fantastic.
Interesting. God, he's not down to Mesa working on it again this year, right?
No, he's not.
Nope.
He tried that, and it
didn't work. So why not?
So he's going to try something else. Which
just check out for a while and try.
And maybe that works, but this is the guy that, you know, was so bad that you had to drop him in the World Series when you were winning it, and he came shirtless into Joe's office to argue about that. What's he going to do now? I mean, what, you know, I just think that there's no way of looking at this story. Who wants him? Who wants him? What, you know, what is in it for the Giants? Oh, well, they can move him to center field. The guy's not a center fielder. So he's gonna. It might help the Cubs if they can get Samardzija, Melancon, and
one of those guys is serviceable,
and one of those guys works out.
Yeah.
So he'll go along with it because it's good for the Cubs. That's the media driven, fan driven portion of your story. What's in it for him? How does it help him? How is that situation better than his? Has anybody talked to him?
Story's ridiculous.
Miller, you're right about the no trade. Okay, so why would he go to San Francisco to join a 64-98 win team?
Because he wants to play center field. No.
Okay.
He likes well, to go to Alcatraz on off days.
Why would the Giants make this move, first off? Now, the money's way apart. Who's the worst player in this of the three? We know who that has the worst contract. Is Hayward the worst player? Two?
Melanson might be done.
Yeah, I was going to say.
He might be done and dusted.
To be determined with Melanson, right?
Smarja had 207 innings pitched last year.
He didn't walk anybody.
Yeah, 17 walks.
Guys, like that,
yeah.
Didn't walk anybody.
Stole a mule.
He'd be a nice innings eater for the Cubs.
This makes zero sense for the Giants. This is completely media-driven, maybe someone doing a favor or a couple of people doing favors.
I don't understand why anybody would want Jason Hayward. You know, Dustin and I were kind of bickering in here while you guys were talking. We were bickering amongst ourselves, as we tend to do. And there are a lot of guys. Dustin was saying, oh, yeah, he's a three-time Gold Glover and this and that. And I'm just like, there's a lot of guys you can get that play a good right field. You know what I mean? You know, and he's a good right fielder, but there's no question he's a bust. Brian, you bring up 21 home runs. He's got 18 in the past 2 years.
I know.
Combined. And look at the guy. And it's just, I don't get it. Nobody wants him. This is media-driven.
Probably media-driven, but I don't mind it. It's been fun. It's been fun to talk about. It's been fun to kick around.
Better than talking about Jerry Jones and Roger Goodell.
That's right. Or the Chicago Bulls. You know, wake me up when the draft comes, okay? I mean, Jiminy Christmas. Anyway.
Jiminy Christmas.
I mean, yeah. I mean, is Jason Hayward a complete bust? With this lineup, Jason Hayward's not supposed to be the bopper. He's not supposed to be the guy.
Well, he was supposed to be a top of the order guy. He's not that either.
Well, I don't know.
You don't pay him that money for just his.
You know, here's the thing, Mully, and I get it. I totally understand where you're coming from. I just try to take if I used money as the basis for all of my sports feelings and opinions, I would never watch sports again. The money would dry. I mean, when you find out that an NBA player makes $440,000 a game, 82 nights in a season,
or a
that will make you stop. I don't even want to do the math on how much Jason Hayward per at bat, right? We can do all this stuff.
When
right?
you see how many RBIs per at bat or
right, how many hundreds of thousands of dollars did Jason Hayward get per RBI last year? That's enough to make you not want to watch sports.
Dustin,
they decided.
I disagree.
That's on Theo and Jed.
The salary leaves you with the expectation for the player.
No, I can't do that.
Yes, that's how it's done. You had to bid for the guy, but you bid $184 million because you viewed him as one of the premier players in baseball and a guy that was going to put you over the top.
But they've always been a team. They've been a team for the last 5 years that values defense so, so much,
but Dustin,
more than anybody. And maybe they know now it's been a mistake.
They've been a team operating on the cheap because Chris Bryant doesn't make any money. They have to pay him.
Eventually.
These people that... The reason they want out of this contract
is because
he's not living up to $184 million.
Sure.
Period, end of story.
But
So your contract determines what the expectation are and whether or not you can keep a guy. They got to pay these other guys. That's why they can't have him long term. And that's why it'd be great for them to get out of it.
I'm not against them getting out of it. I guess my point to answering the question was, if I dedicated every answer and opinion based on the money, I'd be like people.
I'd be like people that don't
want to watch the NFL anymore.
Well, if he was making $184 million and playing well, then I wouldn't give a damn.
No one would care if he's hitting 30
home runs and hitting 300.
No, but I hear what Dustin's saying.
It's an obscene amount of money. There's no
because
argument.
He stinks.
But normally everybody makes that kind of money. Normally, if you look around teams, there's a guy that's making a ton of money,
and they don't break it down per at bat when the guy's actually
But when you look
at
this team, because of the youth of the players and the system that you don't get paid till you get to a certain point, he's making an extraordinary amount of money compared to them, and they are going to have to start investing that money in those other guys. Let me ask you something: would you trade him to Florida if you could figure out a way to take on the Stanton contract?
Yeah, absolutely.
You'd do that in a heartbeat.
Sure, you would.
But why would Florida
save 100?
So you'd have to throw in some sweeteners.
Is it stopping the Cubs from doing anything right
now?
It's going to.
It's going to stop them from getting Bryce Harper.
Well, that's a good question.
Quickly, is it more important for the Hawks to win at Philadelphia tonight or for the top line to produce points?
Win, 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 win. Just win, baby. It's professional sports. It's more important to win.
They haven't won there in Philadelphia since 1996 in a regular season game, even though they won a Stanley Cup there. You know what? I'm going the other way. I think it's more important for them to produce a lot of points with that top line, and hopefully that means the other lines benefit from it as well, because in the longer term, I think you need to have your top three guys going from the get-go and turn into something here.
I'm with Brian. Get the offense going. Only game 16 of the year, and you haven't done much. You haven't scored more than three goals since the second game.
They play a lot of games here in the regular season. It's much more important to find some sort of rhythm or flow or consistency with that top line. So I agree with Joe and Brian here.
Superfecta, top line, more important than a
win
tonight.
God, you guys. So let me ask you. It's more important that Mitch Trubisky throws for 300 yards or that they win the damn game?
And raisins.
Oh,
right
no.
There,
no, I think that's a great question, Molly. I think it is more important. I would much rather see Mitch Trubisky throw for 300 and two touchdowns and the Bears lose by a field goal.
Oh, Bears don't play 82 games.
Yeah, why? Because we know Connor Barth sucks, so if he misses a field
exactly.
goal,
then,
yeah.
Take away my belt, take away my shoelaces. It's going to be one of those shows.
The windows don't open up.
Windows don't open in the ninth floor.
How excited was everyone after the Texans lost to the Seahawks and Deshaun Watson went off?
Yeah.
Molly and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.